today I'm in Earlston in Scotland and it is absolutely meltingly hot. And I'm with Timothy Seabrook and he's broken the Scottish weather. It's not fair, Tim.
It's always like this.
Always.
It always is. You just have a poor memory.
How long have you lived in Earlston?
We have been here now for 19 years.
And has it ever been this hot before?
Oh, yes, yesterday.
It's never been this hot when I've been in Earlston before.
You come in the winter.
Do you think so?
Well, it must be if it wasn't like this. This is the first summer we've had for 19 years. So, yeah, you must have come in the winter.
Possibly. Where and when did we first meet?
Edinburgh.
It was definitely Edinburgh.
It was definitely Edinburgh in 1989, in the autumn. As beyond that, I can't much really be more specific. First time I recall being aware of you, if that makes sense, was that famous CU house party, which has appeared on many of these podcasts. But I suspect we probably did meet before that, because we were doing computer studies together, and we probably would have been in Christian Union, would have seen each other there. But certainly I remember that, because I remember you and Liz, and I was in the same hall of residence as Liz, so I knew Liz.
So Liz was our kind of link originally, wasn't she?
Something like that.
So it was the 4th of November was the CU house party.
You've been looking these things up, haven't you? Because you can't possibly remember that.
No, I do, because the 5th of November was that Saturday.
Yeah, well, if Friday was the 4th and the 5th would have been the Saturday, yeah.
This is where I discover I've got that wrong, and for 20 however many years I've been thinking out the wrong thing.
Why do you remember the 5th being the Saturday?
I just seem to think there were fireworks.
Ah, that was just because you met Ian.
Oh, yes, it was. Or something. You notice I interviewed Stephen Turner on this podcast?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, that was quite early on. We could go back to that, but we won't.
Why should I notice that? What's the connection?
Because I was going out with Stephen at that point.
Oh, were you? Well, I wouldn't have known that, would I?
I don't know. Did you know? Oh, you came to visit.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't introduce you to him.
Maybe not. I'm depressed now because you didn't introduce me to your former boyfriend.
Yeah. I don't think you need to be that depressed. Do you drink tea?
Rarely. I used to drink tea. Then I went to university and met you, and now I don't drink tea anymore.
What happened? I'm not sure that meeting me affected it.
No, but those things did happen.
So you stopped drinking tea?
I very rarely drink tea now.
But did you have too much tea because of your family circumstances, do you think?
No. I think it was probably because my wife introduced me to coffee. Okay. Although she wasn't my wife in those days.
No. Can you remember when you met her?
Similar sort of time. It was that first year at university. I can't remember exactly when it was. It was, I think, more like the springtime. I would have known her actually from the beginning, because we were in the same Bible study group in Hall's residence. So, yeah.
So, do you ever drink tea then, now?
I very rarely. I can't remember the last time I drank a cup of tea.
So do you have a story of the time you had to drink tea when you were being polite?
No.
You went to the garden party at Holyrood. Did you drink tea there?
Don't think so. Don't remember drinking tea there.
I thought you would have to drink tea at a garden party.
No, I seem to remember it was a very hot day. So I suspect there was probably cold drinks. Because there's a lot of standing around at these things.
No, I'm not that important.
No. We did get a glimpse of the top of the Queen's head, just about, we think, at the distance across the crowd.
She tends to wear bright colours so people can see it's her.
Yeah, and tall hats, because she's quite small.
She's about my height. Yeah. She's probably a little tiny bit taller than me. So you don't have a favourite cup of tea. Your favourite cup of tea is coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not the only person with that.
Taifu, sometimes drink taifu. If I do drink tea, it'll just be ordinary tea. I don't do these fancy fruit infusions.
I can see yours is growing in the cup.
Look, this is really nice, actually. I've just got mint and hot water. But it's really infusing nicely, and I've got really bad hay fever, which I was coming to Scotland to get away from. And that was a fail, wasn't it? I'm going to have to ask some friendly doctorly advice from one of my friends who's a doctor about what to do about this hay fever, because my normal my normal hay fever medicine isn't working. So how do you respond to the question?
Oh, the biggie.
The statement. How do you respond to the statement, Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I think part of the problem has been demonstrated by your podcast, because I've listened to most of them now, in that Christians and churchy people have their own language. And a lot of your people have been talking about this Christendom and these sort of things, and I had to go and look that. Having grown up in a church and being a Christian most of my life, I had to go away and look that up. And I think what's happening, it's almost like there's a, not a battle, but there's something going on in the churches at the moment where you almost have these sort of two camps. You have the ones who seem to think that the church should be what the church has always been, who tend to be the older people who are controlling the church. And then you have other people who going back almost to the first century church, who are looking at the way in which what being a Christian is about attitude and what you do and how you serve the community and the people around you. And at the end of the day, the only way that the church will die is if the Christians forget what they're there for. Is it sleeping? Is it? I think the traditional establishment churches could well die out. But I don't think Christianity will die out, because I think when you look, it's a lot of the new expressions, the fresh expressions, and the newer churches are the ones where the growth is being experienced. I think the established church has a problem in its just in its whole structure and decision making processes, that it doesn't react very quickly, and the world is now changing very rapidly, and if the churches can't change with it, not in what they, in the message that they portray, but in the way that they respond and connect with people, then if it's not relevant, people aren't going to be interested.
That's really interesting. It kind of ties in with a question about your upbringing here.
Oh dear.
What were the best and worst things for you about being the child of a vicar?
Now, I struggled when you sent me this question. Not just because my parents might be listening. I thought I'd better be careful about what I said.
That's true.
But it's the only upbringing I know, and therefore I'm not sure what the good and the bad things about it were. One of the hard things about it was the expectation that other people have of you because of what your parents do. And that's a very difficult thing as a child. I remember going to school, and children can be very cruel, but I remember sort of kids at school would go, "Oh, how's God today?" and all this, and that kind of stuff. And that's difficult. It's difficult then for you to kind of get to a point where you can make a decision for yourself, because everybody's automatically expects you to be a Christian. It was nice because my parents were around a lot. I suppose that's one of the advantages of being in the ministry, is that you're working from home, therefore you can be around a lot more. But equally, it was very difficult to do things at the weekend, because your weekends are tied up. And so there were sort of times when, as a child, you wanted to do things, but you couldn't, because you had other, your family had other things and other commitments.
Do you think that's been different for me and Ian, some of that, or do you think it's been similar? I mean, the weekends is exactly the same, in that we don't get any weekends, and that's partly why we can't get to see you very often.
Do I think it's similar? I don't know. I don't know what situation your girls have found themselves in.
I was just thinking, because I'm the vicar and Ian's not a vicar's wife in that sort of traditional way, that maybe your mum was a bit more traditional.
Yeah. I think that, obviously the big difference was that my mum gave up work to look after us, so she was always around. Whereas Ian hasn't given up work. And in fact, he probably is away more than most people.
He went part-time when I was first ordained. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I do remember that.
I remember 3 years.
Talking. He talked for a long time about giving up, but he never did that either. but I don't know. I mean, how have your girls found? Because it's, the world is very different now. And I think children can still be quite cruel, but they're also more tolerant of differences. But
I mean, it influenced very much influenced our choice of secondary school for our children.
Mm.
In that we'd had advice actually from a bishop to say, don't send your children to the school where most of the children from their village will go.
Yeah, which is equally is quite tough for them. Mm. Because they're going away from where all their friends are. You know, these are the people that they see in the evenings and the weekends, because these are the people that live next door. That
I guess they've managed through scouting to maintain those local links, and not from where we go, not everybody goes to the same school. Yeah. So it was kind of...
I mean, we grew up in a very, very small village. There wouldn't have been the option to go anywhere else, really.
What sort of church would you like your children to inherit?
What sort of church would I would like my children to inherit? One which is loving and tolerant. One which isn't tied by rules and history and all those sort of things, but is relevant and... you know, it is welcoming to all ages and all comers, and it is fulfilling the gospel. And it's honest about what it is and what it isn't. It's not trying to be something or pretend to be something it isn't.
Do you think church has always had a problem in trying to exclude some people?
I think... depends what you mean by church, doesn't it? I think there are churches which struggle. And I think the establishment of the church struggles with its interpretation of things. And is it right or is it wrong? I don't know. But I think we shouldn't, if you look at the Gospels, you shouldn't exclude anyone. All are welcome. How we accept and work with people of different sexualities or different whatever is the challenge, but we shouldn't exclude them.
I was speaking to someone who is part of a big established church, part of the organisation. I don't want to really describe that more than that because it would identify them. And they'd had applications for a job where they were working, and they said that there were 19 applications for the job, and 2 were from people who were transgender. And this person said, you know, 20 years ago that would have been unthinkable.
Mm.
But now it was just, that was just who they were. They were applying for that job within that big traditional established situation.
Yeah, I think that the established church is changing. It's changing very slowly. I think some of the other churches are going to change even more slowly, because there are a lot of people very set in their views within the hierarchies of those churches, and those people don't see the need to change, then they think that it's losing something.
Did you listen to my Steve Chalk?
No, I haven't listened to your Steve Chalk one, because I only went live, I think, yesterday or the day before.
Okay, no.
Some of us have been busy.
Yeah.
Not jesting around the country.
And Steve had some really interesting things to say about that, so you should have a listen.
I intend to listen to that one.
It was good. I didn't cut any length out of it because I normally try to make them 20 minutes plus or minus 2 minutes. Some are shorter, some are longer. But Steve's, I just decided I wasn't going to cut anything out.
It's a long one.
It's only 30 minutes. I think it's only 27.
It's a sermon, Janet. And a bit.
What he said was really important, and I wanted to have it all there for people to listen to. Next question. What would you like to be remembered for?
I suspect I probably, other than my family, I don't think many people will remember me when I'm gone. But I would like to think that people, when they do look back at the things that we're involved in and the things that we do, that we leave things in a better place than we find them.
I think people might remember you for your partly for your involvement in scouting.
They may do, they may not, I don't know.
It's really interesting that, because actually being involved in children's lives at that time is really formative for them, especially for those who are in a less stable position than some other families. It can really make a difference to their lives.
Yeah, but I just think it's a good philosophy to go through life, that whatever you're doing, leave it in a better state than you find it.
That is indeed what Lord Selborne said as well. So you're in
I'm famous then,
company with an earl.
Can he pass me his earldom when he's finished with it?
No, I think there's somebody already lined up for it. Last question then, and I'm intrigued to know what the answer to this is going to be.
Oh dear.
What is your favourite thing beginning with T?
Well, I've had a long think about this one, and I have to say that the answer is Thomas, but not because he's my favourite. Right, it's because he was the first, so he made us parents. And parenthood is the thing which I think is the reason behind him being the favourite thing beginning with T, was because he made us into parents.
And the others also don't begin with T?
No, they don't. But I don't want them to listen to this and go, oh, you said Thomas was the favourite.
No. No.
Because I know what children are like.
It's transformational going from not being a parent to being a parent, isn't it?
Time of your life. See, they're all beginning with T.
Yeah, there we go. So, Tim, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Janet.